Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhardt, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Tonight's matchup is a Division IV Region 14 final as Hartley takes on Ottawa Glandorf in Bell Fountain. And now here's Randy Reinhardt and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
Ryan, thank you very much. It's a rematch of a regional semifinal from last year as we greet you from AccuSports Stadium on the campus of Bell Fountain High School. And Larry, quick question as we head into the open here. Is Marquette the marquee man tonight? You look at Mr. Dixon in the two playoff games so far, 577 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns.
Absolutely. Hartley has to find a way to keep the ball in his hands. And obviously, OG, Ottawa Glandorf, has to find a way to keep it out of his hands. And that means they have to stay on the field on offense. If OG does not stay on the field on offense, Hartley will dominate this game.
What a matchup we have tonight. Stick around. We'll hear from both head coaches in just a moment. Just a reminder, this is the CCL Game of the Week. It's presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need every step of the way, through your hospital treatment and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
College scholarships are available from Education First Credit Union. With the fast rising cost of college tuition, free money is as important as ever. Education First has awarded over $140,000 in scholarships to deserving students. To learn more about Education First Credit Union or to request a scholarship application, contact us today. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Titans, Ken Schreiner. And, Coach, congratulations on a great season. What has gone well for OG this year?
Well, I think the big thing is our kids have played so well together throughout the year. Looking at our season at the beginning of the year, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of starters back. We didn't have a whole lot of experience back. But our kids have matured in a hurry. They've gotten together well, and they play tough and hard together.
Let's talk about some folks in your backfield. First of all, Jay Kaufman makes the move from linebacker to quarterback as well. Talk about his leadership and what he offers the team.
You know, Jay's an outstanding athlete. He's 6'4 and about 210, 215 pounds, and he's a playmaker for us. We ask him to carry the ball periodically. He makes good decisions. He's a 4.0 student. He makes good decisions throwing the ball, and, you know, he's been the leader of our offensive unit.
Now, Darren Fox is still your offensive coordinator. You've gone to the spread about 3 years ago. Why do you like the spread offense?
Well, I think it fits our personnel better. You know, we don't have a whole lot of size. In the past, we had a little bit bigger linemen, but more recently, we've had slim, tall, skinny guys that are probably a little bit more athletic, and that may be part of our basketball program has so much success as well. But those are the type of kids that, you know, we want to get the ball on the outside and get it to our playmakers.
Let's talk about a couple guys in the backfield at running back. You've got Connor Neese and Daniel Beamer back as a 1-2 punch. What can they offer you, Coach?
Connor does a great job with his feet. He's got excellent vision. He makes good cuts, and at times he can make people miss. Daniel is much more of the hammer. He's much more of the fullback type guy, but he's also a two-way starter, so we'd don't play him full-time on offense, but we do play him an awful lot.
How about the hands people, the wideouts? Anybody there impressed this season?
Richie Knowlton's done a great job for us as a receiver. He's probably our number one guy statistically. He's a big playmaker for us, and he has the ability to go up and catch the ball. And then Trent Basinger on the other side is a guy that if teams will move over the top and try and double Richie, we have the ability to go backside to Trent as well.
No, Brian Heaps is back as your D coordinator with that 3-3 stack. What do you like about your defense in 2016?
I think it's the versatility of what we do. You know, we have the ability to bring three guys up on a line or four guys up on a line or five guys up on a line, and Coach Heaps does a great job of putting people in position to try and take away as best we can what the offenses are doing on the field.
And finally, Coach, it's a team you've seen before, most recently last season, the Hartley Hawks. You take them on tonight. Keys to victory, what do you have to do for the Titans to come out on top?
You know, somehow we got to get stops in the game. We realize Hartley's a ball control type of offense. They're going to smash it at us, and you know, we've got to find a way to make those stops and get our offense on the field and, again, step up and make plays. Can't make mistakes against a team like Hartley.
Now that you have your ARP card, are you still enjoying coaching as much as you have in the past?
Absolutely. You know, this has been a pretty special year for me. It's, you know, my son is a senior and had a chance to coach him for 4 years, and to have the success that we're having is outstanding for me right now. Enjoying it a lot.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.com.
Malik & Mallett, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Hawks, Brad Birchfield. And coach, congratulations on making it to the regional final. Take us back to last week, since we didn't cover the game. Recap the Port Clinton contest, if you will.
We're happy to come up with a win. They were a really good team, but we really controlled the game throughout. A little methodical in the first half. Second half started getting some turnovers, which we haven't gotten a ton of this year. But when they come, sometimes they come in bunches, and they came in bunches in the third quarter. Was really able to put the game away and able to get more guys some reps and stay healthy coming out of it.
Who were some of the major contributors in the contest last week?
You know, Jaden Manley had a great game. He had an interception, a touchdown pass, and a deep ball that was caught. Marquette, obviously, again, had a great game. Really proud of our secondary as well, because they were a team that could throw it deep, and we kept them from doing that.
Talking with Brad Birchfield, the head coach of the Hawks, and take us now to Ottawa Glandorf. This is a team you have a history with. We saw them last year as well, too. What do you know about the Titans, and what concerns you about them here in 2016?
They're better this year than they were a year ago, there's no question. And last year was a pretty tight ballgame. It was 28-14 there in the fourth. They are physical, really well coached, very physical. Might be the hardest playing team we've played since we played DeSales, and I think that says something significant. You know, they're going to play really, really hard. This is going to be we say it's a double chin strap game to the kids. It's going to be a physical battle and a physical you know, it's going to take a physical toll on both teams. Their great quarterback is a tremendous runner, and he's also their best defensive player, too. He controls their game for them.
So if you had to list some do's and don'ts in the contest tonight, what would those be?
You know, they beat St. Mary's week 10 in a great win for them, and St. Mary's still playing, so it was a great team. And they controlled the ball, made some crucial third downs. We want to keep them from doing that. You know, they turned it into a low-scoring game. And then I think we need to figure out, are they going to try to take away off-tackle power and buck sweep, or are they going to take away the outside jet and rocket and try to really get an advantage schematically there, what they're not taking away.
When it comes to all district honors and even all state honors for that matter, what do you tell the team about that? Do you have any input? Does that concern you at all? How do you approach something like that?
Yeah, I loathe that stuff, and I talk to the parents about it at great lengths. You know, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care about it. I don't, you know, the kids that are honored are more than deservingly so, but there are so many kids not honored that without them, we would not have the type of program or team that we've had. And, you know, the individual honors are made up by people who've never seen us or couldn't identify us walking down the street. I don't know how you put too much validity into that.
Coach, best of luck in the contest tonight.
All right, thank you.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today and go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience. And why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. So you can get better. So you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
St. Gabriel Catholic Radio is looking for listeners like you to serve as parish ambassadors. Parish ambassadors work with your parish team to provide AM 820 bumper magnets and prayer cards. Be a disciple of Christ and help us spread the news of Catholic Radio in your parish. If you would like to serve as St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 Parish Ambassador, contact the St. Gabriel Radio office or go online at stgabrielradio.com.
There are many ways to listen to AM 820 on the radio, online, and on smartphones. Listen live on your Android and iPhone using St. Gabriel Radio's very own app available from your app store. You can also get the Catholic perspective on your computer. Just go to stgabrielradio.com and use the listen button at the top of the homepage. Tune into the faith as you cruise across town and around the world.
Four of the area Catholic teams started off the playoffs, three of them still battling for regional championships this weekend. Two of them doing so tonight. Hello, everybody. It's Ryan Baker in the AM 820 studios, and welcome to the CCL football game of the week as the Division 4 Region 14 final is up for grabs tonight as Hartley takes on Ottawa Glandorf up at Bell Fountain. A budding rivalry in this one as the two teams, this will be the third time they've played in the past couple years in the playoffs. Hartley coming out victorious both times in 2012 regional final, 41-31, and then a regional semifinal last season, the Hawks winning 42-14. Can the Hawks keep that winning way against the Titans? We will find out tonight. The other area Catholic team that's playing tonight is Newark Catholic. They're looking for the Region 23 title as they take on Fort Fry in Zanesville. Let's get you caught up on what the other teams in the area are doing tonight in Division 1. Olentangy Liberty takes on Lorain up in Mansfield. Pickerington Central battles Huber Heights Wayne at London. In Division 2, New Albany takes on Massillon Perry. That game also in Mansfield. And, of course, don't forget tomorrow night, our second CCL game of the week as DeSales takes on Hamilton Township. Let's head out to Bell Fountain now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for the CCL football game of the week.
Ryan, great job as always. Thank you very much. And we've had the coin toss. Hartley has won it. And they're going to take the ball going from left to right. 63 degrees at game time. The wind from the south at 9, gusting to 16. Although we're looking at the radar further west. And life is interesting there. Although it looks for now like it's moving north. And then Saturday we'll be blessed with perhaps various forms of precipitation. But right now, Cotter Nice has a teed up at the 40. We're underway. Regional final action here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. The return's going to start from Manley at the 25. Gives ground to the 26, going far side. 30. 35 up to the 39. Knocked out of bounds at the 40-yard line. So a nice 15-yard return by Jaden Manley. And the Hawks will start right around the 40-yard line, 10 seconds into this contest. Offensively up front for the Hawks, the interior five is Nick Dawes along with Thomas Kazmir, Max Steinecker, Cody Kirkbride, and Adam Combe. Tight end is Jordan Kirkbride. Split end is Jaden Manley. Quarterback is Jake Ruby. The halfback is Marquette Dixon. The wingback is Cameron Culver. And we'll see who starts at fullback, if it's Onaga in the backfield or Nick Cohen. First and 10 for the Hawks from the 40-yard line. On a gorgeous night for high school football in mid-November. On the keeper this time, it's Ruby right up the middle, 45, midfield, 45. Ruby stumbles all the way down to the 40-yard line, got hit at the 44, picks up about 20 on the play before he's knocked down by Jake Dybel, the big defensive end who makes the hit. A 3-3 stack. Brian Heapsch is the defensive coordinator. It's Dybel up front along with Brett Llewellyn and Logan Hoffman. Tell you about the linebackers in just a second. Mark it officially at the 41. They're calling it a gain of 19. First and 10 from there. They stack it heavy to the left side. Toss, it goes to Dixon off the left side, inside the 40, hit at the 38-yard line and plowed back after a gain of 3. Linebackers are Chase Schreiber along with Daniel Beamer, Logan Bulbaugh, Connor Nice, and Jay Kaufman, who's also the starting quarterback. Trent Basinger returns in the secondary along with Richie Nolan playing back there and Tony Carrillo. So a gain of 3, second down and 7 from just inside the 39-yard line, 50 seconds into this contest. And Larry, it's the fun bunch again for the Hawks.
Oh, I'm telling you, they're so tight in there, they look like sardines in a can.
Toss, sweep, flag down, and only down to the 38-yard line. That time on the carry by Marquette Dixon, and we'll see what that hanky is all about. And it's going to be holding, it looks like, against the Hawks. And your referee tonight is Charles Minkemeyer.
Hartley has come out early, and they've run some quick shifts. And what they're doing is they're trying to get Ottawa Glandorf, who likes to flip their defense strong and weak. And they're trying to go from a weak side to a strong side to get personnel matchups they like.
By the way, Nick Cohen is out there at fullback. Mark the ball all the way back to the Hawk 49-yard line. They have to get it all the way down to the 31 of OG. So it'll be second down and 20 from there.
Now, normally for most teams, this would be a passing down, but it doesn't have to be for Hartley. They have the ability to run this ball three times and get the first down.
Wing to the top, Culver wide to the top, Manley to the bottom, Dixon to the backfield from the gun for Ruby on a second down and 20. Culver now bunches up, now goes back wide. Handoff goes to Dixon. Dixon gets it across midfield and plows down to the 46-yard line. Picks up about 5 on the play. It'll be third down and 15 from the 46 of the Titans.
It looks to me as if Ottawa Glandorf is sitting here and saying, we're not going to let Marquette Dixon beat us. I mean, it looks like the linebackers are just simply keying him, because on the first down play, when they faked the jet sweep to Cameron Culver and it was going to Marquette Dixon's side, Ruby went up the middle and there was nobody home. So both linebackers are keying the big number 22.
But Brad Birchfield said, we have to figure out what OG wants to take away from the Hartley offense. So far, it looks like Dixon, third and 15 from the 46 of Ottawa Glandorf. Blackman, the wingback, in motion to the top. Toss sweep. Marquette Dixon, 45, 40, all the way down to the 36, maybe the 35-yard line.
It's going to end up about fourth and 5. And Hartley could do two things here. They could punt and put them in a hole and put their defense on the field, or they could go for it and turn the ball over. Even if they don't get it, it's going to be about the 30-31
yard line. For it here. It's fourth and 5 from the 36. This is Hartley territory.
Well, I'm pretty sure Brad will go for it, but I'm just saying there are two possibilities here, depending on what you want to do.
Culver's going to go to the bottom now. Up back is Cohn. Ruby comes near the sidelines, gets the information, heads back to the line of scrimmage. No huddle for the Hawks. Dixon offset to his left. Culver in motion, bottom to top. Cameron's got the handoff inside the 35, fights and churns, and still loose inside the 25-yard line. Got to the 32-yard line, hit a pile, bounced off of that, went outside and got it inside the 25-yard line and got enough for the first down.
He actually went airborne and landed on the pile, didn't hit the ground, and bounced off and kept going.
all the way down to the 23-yard line. So a gain of 13 on the play. It'll be first and 10 with 9:11 left to go and ticking here in the first quarter. The Hawks driving.
Well, that's a huge first down for Hartley on this first drive because they had third and 15.
Dixon the lone back now. Ruby under center this time with one wide to either side. Ruby rolling to his right, looking, pressures on, gives ground to the 34-yard line. Tucks, looks, throws downfield. Pass is caught by Manley. Makes the catch at the 11-yard line. Then is shoved out of bounds right there. But a nice game for the Hawks as they go to the passing game. And Tony Carrillo knocks him out of bounds.
Well, one of the things Hartley can do to combat this 8- or 9-man front is throw the ball on first down. And, of course, we have Jaden Manley out there. And you've got Ruby throwing it. That's a pretty good combination there.
So first, and I got to mark him right at the 10-yard line. So the ball's touching the 10. It'll be first and goal. Generous spot for the Hawks there.
This is Dixon time here.
Cone is a lead back. Ruby coming all the way halfway to the sidelines now. Gets the information. Brad Birchfield and company, actually from the offensive coordinator. That'd be Chris Sawyer.
This might be the counterplay, inside counterplay.
From the 10. Ruby. It is the counterplay inside Blackman, inside the 10, inside the 5, down near the 4-yard line before he squashed.
I won't tell you exactly how I knew that, but I knew that from my old scouting.
Because
reports.
If you tell me.
Then I have to kill you. Yeah. I have no choice.
And it's too early in the game.
It's Catholic radio. Yeah. You can't do that.
You can wing me.
I can wing you. That's obviously nature's already done that.
He touched at the 5. Second and goal from the 5. Backs from an offset eye. Cone's going to check out. Now Dixon, the lone back. He's the lead blocker. Toss goes to Marquette. Looks for the goal line and finds it for the touchdown. Marquette Dixon takes it in with 8:16 left to go. And just like that, Dixon has touchdown number 31 on the ground. And then it was 6-0 Hawks.
It wasn't as easy as Hartley made it look. This Ottawa-Glandorf defense is keying on Marquette Dixon. And that's why the inside handoff on the counterplay was so good. And that's why the first down pass was so good.
But, Larry, when you have enough weapons, ..
Yep, and they do.
Glad to have you aboard on St. Gabriel Radio and stgabrielradio.com. Don't forget that TuneIn Radio app as well, too. Extra point time now for Matteo Agresti, who's 66 of 68 on extra points, popping to hold it at the 10-yard line. Good snap. There's the kick. It is up, and it's good. 7-0 Hawks, 8:16 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
Guys, it's 7-0 the score in Division II as the two-time defending state champs LaSalle leads Miamisburg.
And here it's 7-0, Ryan, as Hartley gets a touchdown from Marquette Dixon. 5-yard run, 8 plays, 60 yards, took 3:44 off the clock. Agresti with the PAT, and early on, first drive, yields points. Larry Wolf for the Bishop Hartley Hawks.
And it's important for Hartley to get off to a strong start and to stay aggressive with their offense. Now, Otto Glandorf has a great quarterback, so we're going to see the ball in the air a little bit and the boot passes and all that good stuff. So this is going to be a clash of styles, if you will.
Now, they're 50-50 when it comes to run and pass. Connor Neese and Trent Basinger back deep. There's the kick. It is high and it is short. Uh-oh. It's going to hit at the 30-yard line, and boy, the Hawks had a chance for that one, but it tooled out of bounds along the far side right around the 31-yard line.
You know, instead of trying to recover it, they could have just batted it in bounds, and the next guy could have gotten it because I'll tell you, Hartley got to the ball first.
So Ottawa Glandorf will get the ball now, first and 10, down 7-0 early in this one. Offensively, up front for them in the interior line, returning starter Alex Hain at left tackle, then is Brady Coleman, along with Tyler Cauley, Tyler Ebiscotti, and Trevor Riemann. Quarterback is Jay Kaufman. Wide receivers, Evan Kaufman. He's a distant cousin, along with Jake Schreiner, son of the coach. Running back, Connor Neese, and occasionally Daniel Beamer as well, too. And Richie Knowlton is the other wide receiver. So first and 10 after the ball was kicked out of bounds from the 35-yard line. Knowlton way wide to the bottom. Kaufman from the gun, 3 wide to the top. Now one man in motion to the bottom of the set. One back in the backfield. Kaufman wants to throw. It's a bubble screen. Goes to Knowlton. Finds a gap at the 35, 40, 45-yard line. Up to midfield and brought down at around the 47-yard line. a nice gain on the plays. He picks up about 17 yards, and that's enough for a first down. Defensively, for the Hawks up front, it is Jordan Smith, Ethan Amaya, and Thomas Casimir. Linebackers, Cody Kirkbride, Jack Boffman, James Reese, Alexander Blackman, and Jaden Manley in the secondary. Elijah Carter and Jacob McFeeters at the corners, and Cameron Culver is the free safety.
That was what they call a tunnel screen. They brought a man in motion, and he kicked out the defensive back that was guarding the wideout man-to-man, and then he just ran up the tunnel.
Knowlton to the top now, two wide to the bottom, including Trent Basinger. Kaufman's going to keep it on the ground and fight and get maybe 2 yards to the 46-yard line. Now, we should mention Jay Kaufman, the quarterback, was actually the outside linebacker last year and still is, in fact. 6'4", 210, and a junior, passing the ball 125 of 224 for 2,108 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. And also, he has carried the ball for 982 yards and a 5-yard average and 18 touchdowns as well.
I mean, you have one player responsible for more than 2,000 yards in a high school offense. That's pretty significant.
Second and 8 from the Hawk 46-yard line. Straight back to throw. Looks to his left. Nothing there. Rolls to his right. Pressure's on that side. Rolls back to his left. Looks. Guns downfield. Passes caught at the 25-yard line. Down to the 20-yard line. A nice gainer that time. Pass is complete to Daniel Beamer.
One of the things the Hartley defensive backs are going to have to adjust to is he will get outside of the pocket and extend these plays, and they're going to have to continue their coverage. It's the internal clock goes off in your head that says, hey, I don't have to cover anymore, and they actually do have to cover.
Beamer picks up 26 yards, sixth catch of the season. Prior to that, he had 5 catches for 41 yards. Trent Basinger will check into this contest. He's got play information and gives it to Kaufman. Knowlton's going to go to the top. Meanwhile, Basinger goes to the bottom of the set.
And by the way, Jay Kaufman threw a dart. That was a 25-yard dart.
First down play. Kaufman's going to keep off the right side, get inside the 18 to near the 17-yard line before he's pushed back from there.
Now, I know they like to run him, but this Hartley defense is pretty physical, and that will take a toll on him, especially since he plays both ways and he wants to run it and throw it and all that. And they may do better just to throw the football and run him sparingly.
Jake Schreiner will check in as a wideout on the play. It's up only 2. They're going to mark the ball at the 18-yard line. Schreiner, by the way, is going to go to the top. Knowlton to the bottom. Also to the top of the set is Evan Kaufman. And to the bottom, Connor Neese. So 4 wide, 1 back in the backfield. That's Beamer. Kaufman, quick pop in the flat. Pass is complete. Neese has got it inside the 10, inside the 5, down near the 3 or the 2-yard line.
That time, number 32, Evan Kaufman, took both defenders inside with him, and it was kind of a rub route. It wasn't a pick. It was just a rub route. He ran an inside route, and the two Hartley defenders ran into each other, and it left the slot man wide open.
Gain of 15 on the play. First and goal Titans from the Hartley 3-yard line.
At this rate, it might be 87-86 in extra innings. I'm just
reminds me of a Kenton game a few years ago.
Ooh.
Triple stack. Neese the deep man from the 3. Kaufman keeps. He got undercut right at the line of scrimmage and fell forward maybe to the 2-yard line.
Well, one of the things the Hartley defense will do here is the players in the A gap will shoot the gap as low as possible and they'll crawl deep, and that's what happened there, and they just upended him. He wanted to quarterback sneak that go on the right side, and his legs got upended in the A gap. He didn't even get out.
Thomas Casimir went low and was able to undercut him, so a gain of maybe a yard on the play. Second down, they need just more than 2 for the touchdown. 5:20 left to go. Hartley leads 7-0 again. They go triple stack. This time the deep man is Basinger. Hand off to the second man through. Looks for a gap. Does he get into the end zone? Does he break the plane? Touchdown. Count it. Daniel Beamer with the touchdown, and then it was 7-6.
Very impressive drive by Ottawa Glandorf. Very impressive. They mixed in the run and the pass. They threw it early. They ran the quarterback. They ran the running backs. They hit the little bubble passes. Good mixture on the offense. It's going to give Hartley's defense some trouble if they allow them to keep the football.
Beamer with his 9th touchdown on the ground so far this season, and a chance for Ottawa Glandorf now to tie it. Extra point time now for Tristan Bell. 49-52 on extra points. Snap, kick, plenty of leg. It is up. It's good. Tied at 7. 5:07 left to go. Regional final action right here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Right now, 1 in 3 drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state, because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From costs to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
Newark Catholic recovers a fumble on the first play of the game and then punches it in. The Green Wave has an early 7-0 lead over Fort Pry.
Kaufman, 3-3 passing on that drive for 58 yards. Beamer takes it in the last 2 yards. PAT by Bell, 7 plays, 65 yards, 3:09 off the clock, and we are tied at 7 apiece, Larry.
Well, we're off to a flying start here because I'm telling you, both teams have shown the inability to stop the other. So whoever cracks first is going to have the optimal chance to win this thing.
And it is now Mr. Nice ready to boot it.
I don't think either kicker is going to kick the ball deep all night.
This one is scrubbed along the ground, and a big high hop goes inside the 20-yard line. Scooped up by the Hawks around the 13, and they'll get it up to around the 22-yard line, and that is it along the far side of the field. That was a wicked third hop on the artificial surface.
Perfect kickoff for Otto Glandorf because it got the ball out of the hands of Cameron Culver, and they got a huge hop right over the top of the head. And it went down to about the 15-yard line. They only had about a 7 or 8-yard return on that.
Yeah, mark it officially at the 21 for the Hawks. They'll have it there. First and 10, tied at 7, just over 5 minutes left to go. First quarter of this one, the Hawks coming in with that mark of 10-2 on the campaign, and OG at 11-1. One back in the backfield, and that's actually not two backs in the backfield.
Nine-man front for Ottawa Glandorf.
And whistle and hankies, 5:01 left to go, and a call going to go against Bishop Hartley, a false start on the offense. Mark it back to the 16. It'll be first and 15 from there.
These are the things I was talking about. These are the things that Hartley can't do against a team like OG. Obviously, when you get to game 13, everybody's good. There are no pretenders left.
From the 16. Hand off. Dixon off the left side. Fights, churns, gets up to the 20-yard line. Should have been knocked down right at the 16-yard line, but bounced off the first hit. Makes them pay and picks up about 4 on the play.
Those are the kinds of runs that pay dividends in the third and fourth quarter when you get tired, because that's 215 pounds of angry hitting you. And while you make the tackle for a 4 or 5 yard gain, in the second half those are 9 and 10 yard gains.
And they're on the far hash right now, so the wide side of the field would be at the bottom of your radio dial, your computer screen, or your iPhone, or whatever you got. So it'll be second down at 6 from the 20-yard line. Tight set again for the Hawks. One wide out to the top. Blackman in motion to that side. On the misdirection, the handoff, they're going to get the ball up across the 23-yard line, maybe near the 24-yard line. Short gain on the play for the Hawks is on the carry that time is Nick Onaga, number 20. So Onaga with the gain out across the 23-yard line near the 24.
Onaga gets lost in the shuffle back there because he's the little guy, but he can really scoot. He's got good lateral movement, and he hits the hole quickly, gets downhill in a hurry.
So the ball resting at the 24-yard line. Third down from there, third and 7 for the Hawks. They need to get to the 31. They got 2 wide to the bottom, 2 backs either side of Ruby, and 1 back deep. Dixon Culver's going to check out of the backfield now. Quick bubble screen goes out to Cole, and Cole's going to be brought down right at the 25-yard line. Great anticipation by Trent Basinger coming up from the secondary to make the hit.
Hartley tried the same kind of tunnel screen that Otto Glandorf tried earlier, but Jade Manley missed his block on the outside, and the defender was able to come over the top and make the tackle.
That being said, it's a punting situation for the Hawks, and for only the ninth time this season, I think Jake Ruby allegedly will punt the football.
There are games we punted 9 times. Are you kidding me? 9 punts in a season? That's insane.
Nice is back deep. Connor standing his own 45-yard line. Ruby doesn't go that deep in punt formation. He's only standing at his own 17. High snap.
Uh-oh.
And it's partially blocked. And going to be scooped up at around the 38-yard line. Again, that's the downside of not being that deep. Great pressure by the Titans right up the gut, and they get part of the football. And now they have a short field. They're going to mark the ball right around the 39-yard line of the Hawks, first and 10.
Well, that's the first big break, if you will, of this game. And if Otto Glandorf can take it in, it'll give him a big shot of confidence.
So a very short net of that punt. As they got a piece of that one, the ball's only at the 39-yard line, so a net of only 14 yards. 2:56 left to go, first and 10 now. Wide to the top, Schreiner, along with Evan Kaufman. Jake Kaufman in the backfield with backs offset. Now exiting is Beamer. Handoff goes to Nice. Nice plows forward to the 36-yard line. Picks up maybe 3 on the play. Second down and 7 from there.
When Hartley lines up on defense, they play a lot of man looks. And what that means is they may look like they're a man, but they may have a free safety over the top, or they may be dropping into cover 3 or whatever that is. But because they play so much man look, they can put 7 or 8 in the box, and they're always close to the ball to make the defensive play.
Our line judge lost his shoe on his play. Interesting. Chris Hill has to repair his footwear and put it back on now. Second down, the ball just inside the 37-yard line. They need nearly eight on the play. This time it's Beamer inside the 35, and he pushes the pile to around the 33. So it'll be third down from there for the Titans.
It's going to be third and three, and they're going to be happy to take two downs to get these 3 yards. So they can pass it on third down now if they'd like. Roll out with their best player hanging on to the ball. I mean, there's a lot of options here for Oliver Glandorf.
If you're the Hawks, are you much of a blitzing team in this kind of scenario or not?
And this would be the scenario in which you'd want to do it, to put them in a fourth and long. They play so much man-to-man anyhow, it doesn't really change what you do.
Knowlton.
It looks like they're going to drop in coverage here.
Knees to the top. Schreiner wide to the bottom. One back in the backfield. Beamer's got the handoff. He's going nowhere. Got to the 32-yard line, and they stand him up there. So it'll be fourth down. And you look at the field goal scenario, and I think that's out of the range of ball if he wants to attempt one, because you're looking at about a 48-yarder. His range is about 40 yards.
Well, it's fourth and a long two.
Yeah.
And what Hartley did that time is they played three down linemen and had three stacked linebackers, and all three linebackers came forward. They weren't blitzing, but they were just filling a gap immediately on the snap of the ball. And we had the same set again.
Four wide, two to either side. Beamer in the backfield. Kaufman, will he keep it this time? Hartley nearly violates him, did they?
Yep,
they may have encroached, and it's a gift first down.
And that was Luke Kearney that jumped from his defensive end spot and just couldn't hold his water long enough. You know what I mean? He just couldn't wait.
So first and 10 now for Ottawa Glandorf from the 26-yard line of Bishop Hartley. Let's see if they go up top on his first down play with 103 left and ticking here in the quarter.
And I'm going to give Jay Kaufman credit for that, because obviously he did something with his inflection of his voice to draw that off, because he's a veteran quarterback, and I'm sure that he did something early to make him jump.
Three to the top. Beamer just exit the backfield now to go to the top of the formation. Nice, the lone back, gets the handoff off. Oh, we got whistles before we start the play with 46.2.
On the left edge here, the left tackle jumped.
False start on the offense. March it back five. So Alex Hain leaving early. Marked the ball back to the 31-yard line. The first and 15 from there with 46.2 left to go in the quarter.
Officials, a lot of times officials really frown on that leaving early part. They just don't like it.
A sideline suggestion for both teams. Not a sideline warning.
Oh, just a suggestion.
Our referee, Charles Mickemeyer, went to both sides and said, move back, move back. First and 15 from the 31, backs offset. Now Beamer leaves the backfield, goes stage left. Hand off, Nice goes to his left, now cuts back to the right, finds a little gap inside the 30, down to around the 27-yard line. Designed to go to the left, but he took it back the other way, Larry.
He did a nice job of cutting that back. And on the backside for Hartley that time, Alexander Blackman did a great job of holding his ground. The play went away from him, and he just held his ground, waited for the play to come back, because his job is counter and reverse. And it really wasn't either. It's just a cutback.
Pick up four, the penalty yard, second and 11. 10 seconds left to go in the quarter. They do not have to run a play if they don't want to. But they will. And Nice has got it off the left side, has a gap inside the 25, down to around the 21-yard line before Boffman knocks him down, short of the first down, but that will end the first quarter. 12 minutes in the books, and we are tied. Bishop Hartley and Ottawa Glandorf at 7. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at MiracleMotorMart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to MiracleMotorMart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Couple of teams in the area after one. New Albany and Perry are scoreless at zero. And Liberty, Olentangy, they missed a field goal. They and them and Lorraine still scoreless as well.
Starts of the second quarter, tied at 7. Bishop Hartley, Ottawa Glandor, third down now at about 5 from the 21 of the Hawks. Kaufman going to hand it off to Nice, trying to get outside. Gets to the 20, undercut, knocked down at the 19-yard line. Penetration that time for the Hawks to help negate that by James Reese, the third. In that first quarter, OG 83 total offense yards, 58 passing, 25 rushing for the Hawks, 81, 67 rushing, 14 passing. 4 first downs for the Titans, 3 for Bishop Hartley. 1 penalty for 5 yards for OG, 3 for 20 for the Hawks. No turnovers.
Really the first big play of this game for Ottawa Glandorf.
Fourth down and 3 from the 19-yard line with 30 seconds gone. Too wide to either side. Stacked behind each other. And on the far left side, the wide out left early. So it's going to be fourth down and even longer.
It just drives you nuts when you're a coach. And you have no idea. I mean, I have no idea what the play was. But the wide receiver went out to block somebody and then turned over his shoulder. So obviously the play wasn't going his side. It was going the other way. Drives you nuts when you're coaching. I can guarantee it.
Cameron Remlinger, who was the backup quarterback last year, was the guy that left early. So now it's fourth down and 8 from back of the 24-yard line of the Hawks with 11:09 left to go. Passing play?
Absolutely.
Kaufman from the gun. Looking left, looking. Pressure's on, rolls to his right, looks downfield, wants to throw. Bluffs, has room, 20, 15, diagonal to the 10, inside the 5, fights near the goal line. Does he break the plane? He is not in for a touchdown, but picks up 23 yards and has a first down and goal on a 4th and 8.
Well, one of the things that happened on that play that no one will see was that one of the Hartley linebackers ran over Bruce Dunn, the umpire, and he was in pursuit of making the tackle, but he just, you know, they just ran into each other. It's one of those things that happen in football.
First and goal from the 1. Basinger, the deep back, in a triple stack eye. Beamer, the second man. Kaufman calls his own number. Does he break the plane? No signal yet. Still waiting. They unsort the pile. Still no word yet. Now they call a touchdown. 10:29 left to go. And the Titans now take a 13-7 lead.
You know, we did this game last year. It looked like Ottawa Glandorf was a little tentative, maybe a little shy, and maybe a little gun shy of Hartley. I don't think that's the case right now. They feel like they can stay on the field with this Hartley team, and Hartley's going to have to put them out of their misery.
Tristan Ball to attempt the extra point now. 13-7 in this contest. And the holder is Nick Buckland. So the Hawks now with work to do, down by 6 and maybe 7, some 90 seconds into the second quarter. There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. And it's 14-7. Titans. We'll take a break for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Lorraine has scored first, a touchdown pass, and they lead Olatanji Liberty 6-0. And in Division II, after 1, Cincinnati LaSalle leads Miamisburg 17-0.
Here Kaufman takes it in from a yard out. Ball with a PAT, 8 plays, 61 yards, 4:25 off the clock, and a big 4th and 8 conversion as well, too. And now Ottawa Glandor takes the lead in this contest by a count of 14-7. And this one, as we approach the top of the hour, you're listening to WBSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. All right, we know that the Hawks are down by a touchdown, Larry. What do they do offensively when they get it back?
Absolutely nothing different than you've done all year. Give the ball to Marquette Dixon. Get Ruby out on the flank. Run the counter plays.
Cole scoops it up near side at the 22-yard line. A couple of hops and fights up to the 27, and that's it. Boy, tenacious coverage that time by the Titans on the kick coverage team, and he gets a return of about 4 yards, and now the Hawks get it back down by 7 with 10:24 left to go here in the first half.
Well, that's twice they've squib kicked. Last time it went out at the 21. This time they're 20, 26 or 27. They're happy to give Hartley the ball inside the 30. That's a win for them.
Marquette Dixon in the backfield. Nick Onaga out there as well, too. Kirk Bride, the tight end of the bottom.
Looks like a toss sweep, maybe.
Tight set. Backs offset. Onaga leaves the backfield. Rolling to his right is Ruby, giving ground to the 18-yard line. Nothing there. Comes back. He's got room to the near side if he decides to run. Cuts it inside the 25, the 30, the 35, the 40, all the way up to the 46-yard line before he was brought down on the play. He kind of hesitated for a second. I thought he lost the window of opportunity, but a great block on the outside, and he picks up 18 yards.
He's such a special athlete that, you know, he rolled to his right, stopped, stuck his foot in the ground, and he looked downfield, and he had a receiver momentarily, but it wasn't a clear window. He just reversed his field, and he's a great athlete, and he can run, and he can run. They don't ask him to do it very often, though.
Kirkbride's going to check out now. They're going to officially mark the ball at the 45-yard line. Bad spot for the Hawks because the knee didn't touch the 46, so they lose a yard there. Culber in motion. Gets a toss from bottom to top. Tries to turn the corner. Accelerates. Goes through the first line of defense. Gets up to the 49-yard line. Wanted to break that one, but couldn't. Got about 4 yards before he's hit finally. Nice on the play. So second and six from there with 9:40 left to go in the first half.
See what happens with that play. That's a rocket sweep. And Cameron Culver's so fast that it forces the defense to sprint like crazy to the sidelines to try and cut down the lanes. This all pays dividends in the second half. You wear teams out that way.
Onaga in the backfield. Too wide, although semi-wide to the top. And the counter play goes to Culver again. Culver across midfield. Down inside the 48-yard line before he's knocked down on the play. It'll be third down and short for the Hawks with 9:12 left to go. And again, they went with that very tight look for the Hawks on offense.
That's the old buck sweep out of the wing tee look. And it looks like a counter play because everybody's in there so tight, but that's an outside handoff as opposed to the inside handoff that they run when they use Blackman or somebody else on the inside.
And Blackman's in the backfield right now on a third down and two from the 47 of OG with 8:52 left to go.
Triple stack, and they're coming left, I think.
Dixon is the deep man. He's got it. Finds a little bit of a seam, bounces off the first hit, got down near the 45, then a second wave pushed him forward a little bit further, and I'm thinking he's going to be just shy of that first down by inches. It could be fourth down in less than one.
It's going to be fourth down in about a foot.
The ball has to basically touch the 45, and rapidly the Hawks up to the line of scrimmage, not wasting time. 8:24 left to go, triple stack again. Dixon has the first down, plows all the way down to the 40-yard line, the right hash, and moves the six of the Hawks.
The Hartley offensive line understands that in a goal line situation, basically they're at the 45, but it's a goal line defensive charge, you have to get lower than the defender, and they just get down and crab block. They get down on all fours, and they just root them out.
One of the Hawk offensive linemen is down on the field at the 43-yard line. Lying down, back on the turf. And the rest of the Hawks now after they check on him.
Is that Blackman?
Go to the sidelines. I'm not sure if it's 30 or not. I thought it was a lineman at first, but it could be.
I was looking in the huddle. I don't see a 30 standing up. So, and I know he was out there the last play. So
one of the lead blockers, and he's still sitting up now at the 43-yard line, trying to get to his feet.
He probably has footprints in his back from where Marquette Dixon ran right over the top of him.
It is Blackman, and he is going to hobble off the field with some assistance from the trainer. So
he'll be back. He's too tough. He'll be back. He's gimping right now, but he'll be back.
5'11", 215. Speaking of being back, he will be back next season as well, too. So he is just a junior. So mark the ball at the 40-yard line. It's enough for the first down as Dixon picked up five. It'll be first and 10. Ruby, his helmet off at the sidelines, now comes back on. Straps in the old headgear. From the 40-yard line they go.
They are foot-to-foot splits.
Cone, right behind the right tackle. Ruby back to throw, looking long downfield into double coverage, throws it up and a pass incomplete. They're lucky it wasn't picked off on the play as he threw it into double coverage inside the 10-yard line, looking for Jaden Manley.
That was a one-man route, and he was double covered. And if you're going to do a one-man route, you've got to get him to where he's isolated. And he ran him down the middle and allowed safety coverage over the top and a corner underneath. That's really asking a lot of a wide receiver to come down with the ball when you're double covered like that.
And actually, Matt Manley was more defensive back than
absolutely
wide receiver on that
absolutely
play to help knock it down.
Jet sweep time.
Onaga in the backfield. Which direction? Top to bottom? Yep. Turning the corner is Colt. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, and pushed out of bounds. The last man with a chance to hit him was Connor Neese, and Neese pushed him out at around the 14-yard line, a gain of 26 on the play.
By their formation, it was either going to be the jet or the rocket, and it absolutely it was the rocket. It really doesn't matter. It's the same play.
just hits a little wider and a little quicker. Cameron has some jets. Now he can fly.
Cole wide to the bottom. Culver to the top. And a timeout going to be taken now. Timeout burn with 7:46 left to go in the half by Ottawa Gladdorf. We'll take one for 30 seconds. CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. AMA 20.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
They're heading to the second quarter. Newark Catholic still leading Fort Fry by a score of 7-0. And Maslin Perry is struck first. They kick a field goal, 37 yards, and they lead New Albany 3-0.
Larry, do you sense right now that the Hawks are trying to give OG something to think about besides Marquette Dixon?
Yeah, and they're just trying to pound the ball in as best they can.
Onaga gets the quick handoff this time. Fights, churns inside the 12, near the 11-yard line before he's brought down.
Marquette Dixon's going to get his 20-25 carries. He's going to get that. The question is, how tired will the team be when he gets them? And by running Cameron and the other running backs that they have, it saves Marquette for later. And here he is again in the wide set here. Now this looks like a jet sweep again.
This is the slot to the bottom. Culver to the top. Ruby, the quarterback, comes to the sidelines. Anika in the backfield, and Manley wide to the bottom as well, too, with 7:12 left to go. Six on the play clock. 5, 4, 3, 2. They snap it with one. Dixon going bottom to top, gets a handoff. Got speed inside the 10, inside the 5, and Marquette Dixon takes it in for the touchdown. With 7 minutes left to go, great acceleration by Dixon. And that was like a runaway train as he took around the corner for touchdown number 32 on the ground this season.
See, there's really no reason to run Marquette Dixon in between the tackles when both linebackers are going to key him. Get him on the perimeter. Make him run. Make him chase you. And that way he doesn't get the hits. He gets tackled by a cornerback instead of a linebacker.
And the hits just keep on coming, too.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Agresti for the PAT. You know, he missed
his
first one in week number one.
It's ridiculous.
Only missed one other one all season.
Should have been sent down to the minors.
This will be his 70th attempt, looking to convert 68 of 70. Can you imagine 70 extra point attempts in a season?
My leg would fall off.
It happens when you score tons and tons of points. And the extra point is up and good. In fact, now the Hawks have scored 522 points on the season. Tied at 14, 7 minutes left, first half, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to providing our members the best possible loan and savings rates in a friendly and professional manner. We offer savings and checking accounts, certificates of deposit, investment and retirement accounts, and loans including auto, home, and personal. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 811-029 and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
In Division II, Warren Harding has a 7-3 lead over Hudson. And in Region 6, Anthony Wayne is beating Olmsted Falls 14-7.
Marquette Dixon, his second touchdown of the game here, an 11-yard run, 9 plays, 73 yards, 3:24 off the clock. Agresti with a PAT. Dixon now 8 carries, 44 yards, and two of those have yielded touchdowns to the Hawks, and it's a brand new game at 14.
And if you're OG, you go into this game saying, we can't stop Marquette Dixon, we need to control him. Well, so far, that has not happened.
High angular kick, and they leave early. The Hawks, I think, may have on the kickoff left a little early, so they'll have to boot it now from the 35. And when you're not kicking to the end zone, it makes it a little more difficult, too.
I'm just not sure why they don't kick it to the end zone.
If I remember correctly, I think Agresti has two touchbacks on the campaign.
I mean, they're going to be up here about the 20-yard line. And I promise you, if he kicks it hard down here to the left hash, there is nobody even close to the 20-yard line. Closest receiver would be at the 25. I know he can get it over his head to the 10. And if it doesn't go into the end zone, then you're sitting at the 1 or 2.
Basinger's at the 25 near side, and Knee's far side is at the 15-yard line at the far hash.
I mean, if he hammers this thing cross hash, that baby will sit down here in the corner, and they'll get the ball at about the 4-yard line. Of course, that's why I'm up here in the booth and not down there.
Waits for the signals from the sidelines.
That and other reasons, by the way.
Waits for the ready-to-play whistle as well, too. Oh, you should still be down there.
You're just trying to get me out of here.
Sure. And again to the short side of the field, and it goes out of bounds. So they kick it out of bounds. 7 minutes left to go in the first half. Man,
I might make you kick it again.
Titans will get the ball tied at 14 in this contest. Each team with a couple of touchdowns. And you know, I talked to Coach Renner, you heard in the pregame show, and he said we are a 50-50 team.
Yep.
And a lot of teams can't believe that, but from what we've seen tonight, I believe that they are that 50-50 mix.
I mean, they're going to get the ball at the 40 right now, but I'm not sure I wouldn't have made Hartley tee it up from the 30.
30 and kick it again?
Try it again.
From the 40, first and 10.
Pretty soon you'll get one you like, let's put it that way.
Two wide either side, one back in the backfield. Kaufman from the gun. Back to throw, looks to his right. Across the middle, pass, Knowlton's got it. Midfield, 45, all the way down to the 40-yard line. Their leading receiver, Richie Knowlton, had 48 catches for 951 yards and 7 touchdowns. Gets a 20-yard gain on that one and a first and 10 now from the hot 40-yard line on a simple slant play.
Well, Connor Neese ran a rub route. Connor Neese was a slot receiver. He came out and just stuttered his feet right in front of the Hartley defender, and it gave him for an easy access. It's not a pick because he just stuttered his feet and he didn't make contact. Good route concept.
Knowlton now wide to the top. Got a teammate to that side.
Connor
Neese. Bottom. And Trent Basinger is the widest to the bottom of the set. They're going to have the quarterback keep this time. Kaufman off the left side, inside the 35, down to the 32-yard line. See if they touch him down at the 33 with his knee, and they do. So it'll be second down and three from there with 6:20 left to go.
Well, they faked the zone read to the right and then pulled the right tackle on number 55, Trevor Ryman. And he led the quarterback. That was an absolute keep all the way. There was no read to that. It was a keep all the way.
So second down from the 33-yard line. This is a team this season that had 69 plays of 20 yards or more in the campaign. And you can see why. From the 33, one back in the backfield. It's Beamer who's got it. And Beamer plows forward to the 30, falls to the 29, has the first down for OG. 5:53 left to go. If you're OG, you would love to milk that clock.
Oh, absolutely.
5:53 left to go. And remember, they get the ball to start the second half, too.
Absolutely. And when you have a guy who's a quarterback the way they do, and he's such a good quarterback, and he can throw, he can run. I mean, we're talking about Jay Kaufman here. He's 6'4", and he's 210 pounds. He's a big kid playing quarterback. It gives you such an advantage.
And he's an outside linebacker on defense. He replaces Zach Underbrink, who had some decent size, who's the quarterback the last couple of seasons. First and 10 from the 29. Speaking of Kaufman, keeps it, and he gets plowed down right at the 28, falls forward to the 27. I know Boffman was one of the guys helping to make the hit on the play.
Marquette Dixon was in on that play, too. We normally don't see him on defense very much, but he's in there right now.
Well, of course, Blackman got injured a couple plays
right.
ago. So mark it at the 28-yard line. Second down, and we'll call it 8 from there. Approaching 5 minutes left to go in the first half.
I'm sure Hartley would prefer to get Blackman back in there and get Marquette Dixon off the defense because he's going to take enough of a beating on offense.
They go with 3 to the bottom now, 1 to the top. Beamer in the backfield. He gets the handoff, finds a gap to the 25-yard line. It's actually hit at the 26 and spins away and knocked down eventually at the 25-yard line. Cody Kirkbride got the penetration to hit him at the 26, but fell to the 25, so it'll be third down and 5 from there.
Jack Boffman really submarined that play. He read his keys perfectly because that gap opened up between the center and the guard, and he just shot through the gap like a linebacker should and forced the ball carrier to make a change in direction that allowed us to make the tackle.
Basinger a little late coming in with a play with 12 on the play clock. Now down to 7. They come up the line of scrimmage with 2 wide either side with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They snap it with 1 second. Kaufman back to throw. Plenty of time. Looks. Dumps it in the flat. Overthrows Connor Neese at the 25-yard line. Put a little too much air underneath the football.
Well, he had Marquette Dixon breathing down. And Marquette came on a blitz from the wide side that time and literally hit the offensive tackle, number 77, Alex Hain, and I mean just drove him back into the quarterback, and so he had to get rid of the football early, and he threw it high.
This is where you can really tilt the table right now if you're the Hawks. It's a fourth down and a long 5 from just past the 25. If you can hold here, get the ball back at a late touchdown and go in by a score at the break. Tied at 14, fourth and 5 from the Hawk 25. 2 wide either side, 1 back in the backfield. Pump fake. Kaufman sees nothing to his right, nothing to his left. Pressure's on. He's going to go down back at the 34-yard line.
Did I mention the name Marquette Dixon?
Oh, he came through and made the hit at the 34. Marquette Dixon. Vincent with a big stick that time, and the Hawks get the ball back.
Now, just so you understand how big that is, if Ottawa Glandorf goes in and scores, they're up 7, and they get the ball to start the half. They could go up 14. Now, Hartley could go up 7. That's a difference of 21 potential points there.
And no rest for the weary as Marquette Dixon stays out there in offense.
He's not allowed to be weary.
No crying in football.
No crying.
Onaga in the backfield. Behind him, Dixon. Ruby from a pistol look.
Quarterback sweep or a jet sweep?
To the near side?
Yes, right toward us.
We'll see.
There it is, jet sweep.
It's coming. It's Phillip Cole across the 35, the 40, and undercut at the 45-yard line. So Cole with a nice gain on the play, got up to the 45, has the first down before he's knocked down on the play, but they'll move the chains for the Hawks with 3:52 left.
It's not like we're clairvoyant and know these things, but
you are.
I knew a girl named Clairvoyant once, really? So that's a different story. But in this case, you can just tell by the formation. And the thing is, you know, if I know, Ottawa Glendorf certainly knows, the question is, how do you stop it? Knowing it is one thing, stopping it's another.
Logan Hoffman slow to get up, and they whistle for an official's timeout, so he will saunter off the field. And this is a big, big sophomore in Logan Hoffman. He goes about 6'3", 290 pounds, 16 solos, 22 assists, one sack, and five tackles for a loss coming into this game.
Well, his job is to take up bodies in the interior. His job is to make two guys take him. And if he makes two guys take him, that means the linebacker's free. It's a selfless kind of game that way when you're 6'3", 290.
Clock ticking, 3:40 left to go. First down, toss, sweep, wide side, Marquette Dixon, 45. Midfield, 45, 40. Tripped up as he hit the 39-yard line.
Cameron Culver just destroyed his cornerback. I mean, Cameron Culver literally pushed him 4 or 5 yards away, and then, like a silly cornerback, he came back for more and got drilled again. Great block.
Gain of 16 on the play. Mark it officially at the 38. First and 10 from there. 3:28 left to go. The Hawks.
I just love the way Hartley blocks. I mean, they're tenacious when they block. Their linemen will block one guy, knock him down, get up, and they'll go push the pile. They're just, the tenacity is incredible.
Hartley has their full complement of three timeouts, by the way. From the 38, toss sweep near side, the wide side of the field, turning the corner inside the 35 and pushing the defender all the way inside the 30-yard line. Great arm strength that time by big number 20 for the Hawks to make the move around the corner. Nick Onaga was hit at the 33, just kept pushing the defender inside the 30.
See, now Hartley's gone wide, 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 wide. They're not going inside the tackles. It's about time for one of those counterplays inside, and it'll crack wide open because everybody's flowing out.
Well, it's second down and one right now. Is this a Green Bay Packer gift down where you go long?
No, not Hartley. Go long for them is give the ball to Marquette Dixon. He can go long as well as anybody.
Plus, you'd probably like to eat more of that clock, too, at 3:07 left to go on the first down.
They're packed in there about a half an inch.
Two wideouts, though, to the top, though. And off right up the gut, Marquette Dixon to the 26-yard line. That'll move the sticks. First and 10, Hawks to the 26, 3:02 left to go. And momentarily stop the clock while they reset the chains along the far side of the field. Again, the Hawks still sitting on three timeouts. The Titans have remaining. First and
10. Jordan Kirkbride, the tight end that time, ended up over the center. Now, normally you'd say, well, tight end shouldn't be all the way down there. In Hartley's formation, that's about a 2.5-foot move. They're so tight.
Triple stacked to the top in wideouts. Now a whistle and a flag before we start the play. And a false start called on the Hawks. That didn't look good from the get-go.
No, it did not.
Yeah, triple stack, one wide receiver behind the other at the top of the formation. So marching back five to the 31-yard line. It'll be first and 15 from there.
And the clock is moving. They got plenty of time. 2:38 from the 30-yard line. They got plenty of time. Three timeouts.
I'd say that's to the Hawks' advantage right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Five penalties for 30 yards so far in this contest, according to the legendary Scott Rex. Again, the tight set for the Hawks.
Tight? They're touching each other.
Seven guys very close. And two wide at the top, one back in the backfield. That's Dixon. Dixon gets the handoff inside the 30. Sidesteps defenders, 25-20. And powers his way down to the 18-yard line before he's wrapped up there. And not quite a first down, although he picked up a nice chunk of that right there as he took it to his right, then back to his left before Tony Carrillo came up from the secondary to hit him.
There's no such thing as a hole there. It's just a surge of linemen. They just get hip to hip, and there's no penetration, and they just move people like a snowplow would.
He gains 13 on the play, second down and two from the 18, 148, 147, 146 left to go. In the first half, we were tied at 14, Ottawa Glandorf and Bishop Hartley. One wide out to either side now. Dixon the lone back. Wing to the top. And Cone. Handoff Dixon inside the 15. He goes over the top inside the 14 to about the 13, and that's enough for another Hawk first down with 1:33 left to go. And a little gimpy coming up to his feet for the Hawks now is Thomas Kazmir.
Now, Hartley needs to be a little bit more excited about this time. Now, they're down to a minute 28, and I know they've got timeouts, but they also have the ball at the 13-yard line here, so they don't want to blow the whole thing here.
Dixon now 12 carries, 81 yards, two touchdowns so far. 1:18 left to go.
Jet sweep.
From the 13-yard line.
Rocket sweep right toward us.
Short side, here it comes. Toss sweep inside the 10, inside the 5. Culver's going to take it in for the touchdown. Weird thing you say is that they score too soon with 107 left to go. You'll take any points you can get. It's 20-14, Bishop Hartley.
It's just too easy. I mean, when I say it's too easy to know what they're doing and too hard to stop it. You know when they put Marquette Dixon out at a wing back, either he's going to run the jet sweep away or they're going to run the jet sweep too.
For Cameron Culver, that is touchdown number 6 on the ground this season. For the 5'10", 175-pound senior that has really fought through a couple of injuries in his career to be the stellar back that he is. Agresti to make it a 7-point bulge with Boffman to hold. Snap, kick. Perfection again. 21-14, 107 left to go. Hawks on top. We'll pause right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Behind a Kyle Gibson touchdown run and a Nolan Jordan touchdown catch, Newark Catholic has a 20-0 lead over Fort Fry.
And here it is 21-14, Bishop Hartley as Culver takes it in from 13 yards out. Agresti with a PAT, 7 plays, 67 yards, and 2:54 ticked off the clock. You know, go back to Newark Catholic and Bishop Reedy.
Oh.
Either one of those teams could have won that game.
And absolutely.
Newark Catholic made the play when they had to with a pass across the middle. And
well, Hartley had the ball at the 1-yard line and didn't score for Pete's sakes in regulation. So
Reedy had the ball.
If you kick the field goal, you know, the game's over in regulation.
And they have to go for the touchdown. Agresti this time is going to kick it deep. And the return's going to start from the 11-yard line. Up across the 15-20, Basinger far side to the 21 and finds a little gap, but only up to the 26-yard line. So good coverage after a return of just about 15 yards, and that's where OG will get it back now. 59.4 left to go. If you're the Titans, do you try to make something happen here?
Absolutely. And one of the things we noticed, or at least I noticed on the kickoff that time, rather than kicking from the right hash, which he normally does, he kicked it from the middle. So you knew he was going to kick it differently.
Yep.
So why not keep it on the right hash and kick it differently and then really mess him up?
So first and 10 from the 26, 59.4 left to go. Coughlin, the last one to come out on the field now for the Titans. And OG has two timeouts remaining in the first half, and the Hawks still with their full complement of three. They go with two wide to the bottom, one to the top. Backs offset in the backfield. Get Coughlin now from a gun. Beamer going to exit the backfield from the bottom to the top. Hand off Nice around the left side, 25-30, up to the 35-yard line, and scoots out of bounds to stop the clock with 54.5. So a nice gainer on first down. In fact, see where he went out of bounds. He might have enough for the first down, or he might be just
a little short.
I'm going to say he stepped out right around the 35-yard line. So it'll be second down. They'll need a couple from there.
Hartley's in a very loose 3-3 stack right now, which means they got three down linemen and three linebackers that are kind of spread out all over the place. So it's they got two deep safeties, so they're playing maybe man under and zone over the top, or they're just playing the deep cover too.
Kaufman's going to hand it off again, and this time nothing there. As Nice tried to turn the corner, and waiting for him was Thomas Kazmir. I said a couple plays ago, he looked a little gimpy on that leg. He looks pretty good right now.
Well, Kazmir is kind of a bulldog. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's got cuts on his elbows. His hands are gnarled up. His shoelaces aren't tied. I mean, he's a mess. And he plays like an absolute tornado out there.
So, surprise to me that they opted to not try to make something happen here in the last minute of the first half, Larry.
I think if they had gotten the first down on the first play, maybe they would have. But I think they're worried to give the ball back to Hartley here.
Now they've got Knowlton and Manley, single coverage to the bottom on a third down and two with 13 seconds left to go. They're going to keep it on the ground again. Nice on his horse across the 40, undercut at the 45-yard line. Stays in bounds, but he has enough for the first down, so the clock will stop when they move the chains with 7.6 left to go here in the first half of this one.
I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to airmail one out here. Starting the clock.
Timeout going to be taken.
Right.
Yep, they're going to take a shot. Timeout number two going to be taken here by Ottawa Glandorf with 6.5 left to go in the first half. And Ryan Baker's back in the studios of AMA 20. Ryan, I understand you'll have updates on other scores at halftime, sir, will you not?
Yeah, Randy, we'll definitely get a hit on the games here in the Columbus area and then try to give you the scores of the games all around the state. A couple big matchups in Division One, not going so well for the local teams right now. One big one in Division Two as well. And, of course, we've got the Hartley and Newark Catholic games going on. So we'll talk about all of those coming up at the half.
And don't forget, tomorrow night we've got DeSales and Hamilton Township from Upper Arlington High School. We'll have all the coverage right here, starting with our preview show at 6:45 for the start of our coverage tomorrow night on AM 820 on a night that could be about 30 degrees colder than this, at least.
Do not remind me. I played golf today.
Put the clubs away. First and 10 from the 45. Kaufman wants to throw. Quick pop. It goes to Nice, makes the catch, knocked out of bounds right around the 46-yard line for Connor Nice. 2.2 left to go.
Well, Tom Dempsey's not going to come out here and kick a 63-yarder, so they're going to have to go all the way, and there's no place to throw it down here now.
Well, the Hawks have DBs back at the 15-yard line. Culver's actually standing at the 12. Cole's at the 16, and Manley is at the 18-yard line, respectively. Schreiner checks in with a play. The son of the head coach in his 21st year.
This could be one of those, little under routes with a little lateral, maybe.
Okay,
a
lateral type thing, yeah. Second down and one, by the way, for what it's worth from the 46 of the Hawks. Kaufman back to throw. Pressure right up the gut. Has to throw it early. And the catch is made by Beamer. He goes out of bounds. Nice was waiting for a little toss on a lateral, but doesn't get it. And that will end the first half. So Bishop Hartley down 14-7. Larry, get the last two touchdowns of the half and now lead by a score.
And that was critical that Hartley got the stop, because obviously it would have switched things around here. Another minute and a half off the clock, and Hartley doesn't have any time to score. So Hartley came out of that half just the way they wanted to, and now all they have to do is get a stop, and they have a chance to go up 14 points.
Now we're at AccuSports Stadium here in Belle Fountain, and it's interesting because you have to do a hand-over-hand ladder to get to the second tier. So I'm hoping that our halftime guests, Andrew Jahan, who I understand is still quite spry, will be able to make the sojourn up here and join us for the highlighter at halftime.
Listen, if us geriatrics can make it up that hole, he can make it up.
You and I were upset because people were talking about the fact of how ancient they were, and they went to high school back
in the 80s. Two people at dinner were talking about, oh, yes, I'm back in the 80s. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
But we look better than them.
I had children. That's our opinion.
We're sticking to it. Thank you very much.
I had children by the time they were in the 80s, and this woman was talking about how old she was. Are you serious?
But the elements tonight, not a factor. Tomorrow night, the sales in Hamilton Township, from what we understand, could be a definite element. And by the way, if that does happen tomorrow night, does that play into the hands of the Stallions?
Everything plays in the hands of the Stallions. They're the better football team.
Right.
So if you're the better football team, you want the best possible weather. If you're the underdog, you don't mind an off night because that could cause some fumble time for DeSales. And if you're the best team, you want the best possible conditions.
So we're at halftime now. 21-14, Bishop Hartley on top in this contest. And we are right by an open door. And makes life a little more interesting right now. We're at the break. When we come back, Andrew Jahan is spry. He is indeed, and he will join us when we come back. 21-14, Hawks on top. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.